You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making this part of your regular routine. We're here for you every once in a while nowadays. Sorry, a couple times a week, 2-3 times a week. We'll be trying to get some more guests on as we go through the summer to talk a little bit about what's coming up. But for now, we're going to talk a little bit about Team USA, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown all have interesting comments out of the first day of practice. We're the Rainy Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King of The Athletic. Oh, it's been a minute, Jay. How you feeling?
Coming to you guys from a vacation like a true god. This is heroic.
That's championship level stuff, man. Where are you? Are you going to be at undisclosed vacation destination? You know, some beach somewhere?
Martha's Vineyard, baby.
Oh, nice.
Come find me if you can, people.
Oh, nice. There's no casinos out in Martha's Vineyard. What are you doing out there?
Yeah, I'm not always at the casino. Just the one time we had a podcast from the casino.
All right, let's start. We'll go to Vegas. The whole show is from Vegas. Let's start with Marcus Smart, who talked about the chemistry. And this is something we've talked about a little bit with on the show before, how we anticipated this would be a good thing. And it seems after day one, Marcus Smart says they went out to dinner. They talked a little bit of basketball, but they talked more with each other. I'm sure they've had opportunities to talk, but this might actually be the first time that Marcus, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown were all together since the end of last season. Everybody kind of disperses. And now you get Kemba in on this, and now you've got the integrating the new guy. So it's a very interesting little conversation that must have happened there. And I think that only, as I'm sure you do, that only good things really can come of this starting now.
It's funny how we talk about these guys like they haven't been friends for years.
Right.
like we act like four Team USA teammates or four Celtics teammates going to Team USA could be this hugely beneficial thing for chemistry, when three of these guys have been together for years. 2 years ago, they had a great chemistry as a team. Last year, everything fell apart. I don't know. I feel like because everybody was scarred from this past season, the conversation about this Team USA trip has gotten a little out of control. Like, three of these guys know each other really well. Kemba Walker has been to Africa with Jaylen Brown. He's been on vacation with Jason Tatum for Jordan. Like, they're just regular teammates doing regular teammate things. And I think there's a lot of overreaction about the chemistry beginning to be built over in wherever they are. Vegas.
Las Vegas. yeah, okay. Fair that there's – well, first of all, there may be some overreaction. It may also be that this is the only thing to talk about, so this is the only thing that anybody's talking about. And it's not like maybe if there were more things to talk about, the team chemistry thing wouldn't be. But we're sitting here trying to figure out what to talk about in a podcast because we've got to do a couple of these a week. And the only thing that's really, really happening is these guys over there. People, Jay, they want the Locked On Celtics podcast. We've got to give it to them at least a couple
times.
This
is true. That's why I'm being godly on vacation.
So I do think that there might be a little bit of both. I think you're right on that people are scarred by last year. But at the same time, there is a legitimate storyline that these guys, yes, they are doing what teammates do. You wouldn't expect them to go shut Kemba out and be like, no, we didn't talk to him. But at the same time, it is a positive thing that's happening. Any little advantage that you can get, any little bit of, you know, conversation, these guys hanging out, I think can only be a good thing. Although it's funny, I did see somebody bringing up the, is this, somebody's going to write the story of these guys forming some sort of clique and that being something that hurts the Celtics this upcoming season, which I obviously I'm laughing at, but there's in August, these are the crazy offshoots of conversation.
Huge click. You heard it here first. Team USA bonding is going to destroy the Celtics.
Right. That's right. Because, I don't know, Shemi Ojeleye is going to be pissed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Daniel Tice is going to have some serious backlash as a member of Germany's team.
Yeah.
And Vincent Poirier is already heated as a member of the French national team. So, huge, huge discord, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. There's totally going to be a fight between Germany and the USA. Just Tice swinging at Jalen. That'd actually be funny. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? But you know what? More so than the off-the-court stuff, I think some of the on-the-court stuff is where they'll have, like, their real advantage. Like, okay, so what if Jalen and Jason and Smart, you know, you disperse at the end of the season. Like, you're not, these are adults, this is the pros, you're going home. Everybody goes home and goes to their own thing. But the return to the floor with their point guard, their new point guard, is any little bit of advantage that they could get. So you get an extra month working with him and understanding. Like, you can watch film, but you can understand more when you play with the guy. Like, oh, okay, this is how we want to do certain things, whatever it is. There is something to be said by getting a little jump on the on-court stuff when you've got a new point guard coming in.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly could be some benefit to playing together, and especially playing together with Kemba Walker, who none of these guys have played with before. I just wonder if there's not too much being made of, especially when a bunch of these guys might not a bunch, but like it's possible that not all these guys will make the team. And so I don't know. I just wonder. Let's wonder.
Just wonder, Jay. That's you. You're just full of wonder and whimsy.
I just wonder.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back. Kemba Walker with some interesting comments about playing for Team USA and being happy that other people pulled out of the tournament coming up. We'll do that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Kemba Walker was actually asked flat out if, you know, saying, hey, as one of the leaders on this team, which made him laugh when he said, I'm one of the leaders? Oh, nobody told me that, which was kind of funny. But he is actually, I think he will be looked to as one of the leaders. You've got really only two point guards right now that are going to be healthy. It depends on if Kyle Lowry's thumb gets better in time for the tournament, but it's basically what, like Kemba and who else is in there for Donovan Mitchell? I'm missing one of the point guards.
De'Aaron Fox
just got upgraded. That's right. So Kemba's going to be one of like the floor generals. So he's going to be one of the leaders, and he became one in part because a lot of people dropped out, to which he said, I love to play basketball, and what better opportunity to do that than to play for your country? He said this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, which, and these are all things that he's going to say. But then he says, you know, I think a lot of us are happy that those other guys pulled out. This is our chance to get on the big stage and showcase our talents. So for these guys, I wonder if there's like an added appreciation. It feels like for Kemba, there's an added appreciation anyway, that You know, all of these other guys pulled out for whatever reason. This is the team that's left. Now you're starting to get into like the international version of, well, now people are doubting us. So now we're going to get on the big stage and show that what we can do.
I guess. I mean, Team USA is still more talented than any other roster. Team Canada had a lot of dropouts. Like
they did.
These guys. I mean, when you look at it's a depleted USA roster. It's still got Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Donovan Mitchell,
all NBA guys on this team.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez is like starting center for one of the best teams in the league, pretty damn good. So I mean, you go up and down the roster. It's still a loaded roster. It's just not as loaded as it could have been if all the main guys had said yes.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was listening to CJ McCollum on the Woj pod talking about how some of these guys, like there's this like mix of guys who could have played but decided not to. McCollum is trying to come back from, like he came back from an injury and he says he wants to be healthy. A lot of guys are having these health things, but he said that part of this is not wanting to. Or he said something like, what's the point when there's no guarantee that I'm going to be on the Olympic team? Because he said flat out, if I was guaranteed to be on the Olympic team, I would have played. And it's just interesting to see how this dynamic moves forward. Like, he drops out. These guys are in. There's no guarantee that these guys are going to be on the Olympic team. The Olympic team is going to be for, like, the elite, elite players. But just like Marcus Smart suggested, there might be some level of, like for Kemba Walker, you were here last year, you're an all NBA level player, maybe we do want to have you instead of some other guy of similar talent that dropped out before. This is an opportunity for these guys to showcase themselves, not just for the players, for their teams, whatever, but for Team USA, for maybe future like Olympic possibilities. Don't you think these guys want to be part of that? Like Olympic goal is still prestigious.
Yeah, absolutely. I struggle to think that the decision on the ultimate Olympic roster, I don't even know when the Olympics are, but whenever they are, I struggle to think that like if Steph Curry decides he wants to play, like, are they going to tell him, oh, sorry, like, Kemba Walker was loyal to us last summer? Like, no. Maybe it could be, like, a small part of a decision. Maybe it could impact whether they get invitations to Team USA stuff in the future, if they're even in training camp. But I do think, to some extent, like, if all the top dogs come back, top dogs are just coming back. That's just what it's going to be. Yes, every time you get invited, there's a chance to prove yourself and paint yourself in a better light for the decision makers. But I do think, to some extent, like if LeBron comes back and, you know, Stephen Curry and, oh, what if Kawhi Leonard wants to do it? It's like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, who played for Coach K at Duke. I guess Coach K is not there anymore. I'm bugging. But still, like all these guys, they have histories with Team USA too. And so I honestly don't know how much of an impact it will have. I do think that there's value in learning from Greg Popovich and learning from the other coaches there. Like there's definitely value in that and just seeing a different perspective of basketball, seeing a different coaching style, seeing all of that stuff. So
I will say that I think there's one thing that nobody really talks about is the potential opportunity for endorsements out of something like this. Like this is something where maybe somebody like Jaylen Brown is a big kind of build a brand kind of guy. Like he's constantly trying to build his own brand. He's got his own clothing line. Like he wants to have that side of that side of the business, which great. Like that's an important part of these young men making the most of their careers over what little time, relatively speaking, they have in professional basketball. An opportunity to go out there and lay down 20-point whippings on teams and win a major international competition, even though the Americans might not see the FIBA World Cup as a major international competition, I guarantee you a lot of other teams, a lot of other countries see this as a big deal. That's an opportunity to be out there in the spotlight, to maybe be seen. Maybe one of these Chinese shoe companies steps up with an exclusive shoe deal for one of these guys. Maybe a brand that has more international clout than the United States sees Kemba or one of these guys and says, hey, you know, we like what you've done. People are interested in you. Like, this is a chance for people, not just on the basketball court, but off the court, to go make a little bit of money.
I like how hard you're working to come up with podcast material in the depths of summer. I just, again, it's like, is Jaylen Brown really going to get endorsement because he whooped up on like Greece in the summer?
Why or always like, Greece, Jay? Like, why do you always go to Greece?
Because
why can't he do something to like Tunisia or something? You always got to go after the Greeks.
Fine, because he whoops up on Lithuania. Like, I just I just struggle to think that would be more important than him helping the Celtics get to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals like he did 2 years ago. I don't know.
It's more important, but it's a thing that he wouldn't have had. It's something he wouldn't have had. Like, that tournament exists. People around the world are going to be watching it. It's not more important, but it's a thing. It's something that he can maybe, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. It is possible that some shoe company out there is like, Jaylen, you ruined Lithuania.
That's right.
You destroyed Sophocles Shortsiansis of Greece. Baby Shaq, there's no way he's still playing on the national team.
I don't think he is.
I was a big Baby Shaq guy back in the day.
A lot of people were. I think the Greek national team has all, like, three of the four Antetokounmpo brothers, and not the fourth because he's too young. Like, that's, but anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. But maybe.
Solid maybe from Jay King. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. Jaylen Brown, interesting comments about last year. I know people like, oh, God, last year. But the thing that makes it interesting is just kind of, I feel like it highlights something that, you know, maybe potential rift in last year's locker room, a little more specific thing. We're going to talk about that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston's out in Las Vegas talked to Jaylen Brown. Quote from this summer about the good vibes. He said, last year, honestly, I can't see it being any worse than that. Coming out being positive is everybody's mindset. And then he later added about last year, it's over with now. I'm looking forward to what's coming next. Now, everybody here, all you listening, I know you're probably sitting there saying, please don't say the name Kyrie Irving. But I think it's starting to like really become clear that Jaylen really did not seem to like Kyrie at all. He was the guy after the Orlando mess where it really came out that they had the last play, the last second play that was supposed to go to him. It didn't. It went to Jason Tatum, who missed the shot, and they lost. And afterwards in the locker room, that was where Kyrie was just stewing for a while, and he went off on the young guys again. That's where Jaylen called him out for it, and then Kyrie like was apologetic the next day in Brooklyn. Then there have been other kind of instances of that, and now here he is, Jaylen Brown, saying this. I don't know, Jay. I feel like this is pretty clear that all year long, Jalen didn't like Kyrie. Something was definitely not right there. And this is another kind of example of him. Like, he didn't have to say, I can't see it being any worse than last year. He didn't have to say that, but he did. And I think he did it for a reason.
I don't know. See, so why does this have to be that he was against Kyrie?
Because it's just another point in the, you know, point A to point B to point C. Like, this is another point to me, unless you think it's wrong, in which case tell me. But I think it's just another, like, another thing that's last year wasn't any worse than that, but it's over with now. Looking forward to what's coming next. I mean, could be talking about this upcoming season, but I feel like this is I feel like this is Kyrie related.
I mean, it could be, but here's the thing: like, it could be about anything that happened. It could be about, like, just everything went crazy last year. It was a bad time for everybody. It's over. How could we be as dysfunctional as we were last year when we entered the season as the Eastern Conference favorite, clashed all year, got basically swept out of the second round of the playoffs. Like, everything was just really, really difficult all year long. I started the season terribly, got moved to the bench, like, took a ton of criticism over the first couple months of the season. Like, for Jaylen Brown, especially in the Celtics as a whole, like, it's hard to have a tougher season than they had last year. And I don't know necessarily that has to do with Kyrie Irving. Obviously, Jalen did take offense to some of the things Kyrie did last year. He went to the press and said what he said, and it was very obvious that he did not take to all of Kyrie's leadership attempts, at least. But I'm just not sure that this quote in particular has to be a sign that Jalen did not fully appreciate or hated Kyrie Irving. I think it's probably pretty clear they didn't fully appreciate him. But I don't know. To me, like, there are layers to it. It's at least possible that this had nothing to do with Kyrie Irving. It's just like, yeah, it would be tough to be more dysfunctional than we were last year. There's nowhere to go but up from there. So we are all looking forward to not doing that crap again.
It's certainly possible. He doesn't say anything. This is definitely trying to read between the lines. And people, I think, are just kind of done with this conversation. But you know how guys say certain things and it's hard to, like, try to read into guys saying, put words in their mouths that they didn't say. Like, there's something patently unfair about that when we do it all the time. And that I acknowledge that there's a level of unfairness there. But since we're here, if there was ever, like, if I could point to two guys in that locker room that didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things, like, I feel like Jalen was the representative of the quote unquote young guys. That was that when Kyrie kept saying that stuff, young guys this, young guys that, I felt like it was Jalen that was the most pointed in his response. And like, Terry Rozier didn't say a whole lot about that, not to my recollection. But I think Terry and Kyrie, because they played the same position, had like a natural rivalry. But because Jalen was the guy that went to the second unit, and when Marcus Smart joined the starters, that Kyrie was all about that. Like, he was thrilled to have Marcus Smart. And I can't imagine that Jalen took that particularly well, because, like, I was a starter. Now I'm not a starter anymore, and look at how happy you are. So I just feel like there was a little bit of – maybe it's not personal. Maybe they're, like, good friends. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of this is that. But I feel like this is just one more kind of exhibit in the circumstantial evidence that says, you know, Jalen may be one of those guys that's pretty happy that Kyrie's gone.
I will say this. I don't think anyone shed a tear when Kyrie decided to leave. Like, they're that organization, as much as it would have been nice from a competitive standpoint to have Kyrie Irving still around, I don't think people were really too upset about it. I think everyone's excited for the new start and having Kemba Walker and being able to put last year behind them. And I do think like Kyrie was part of that, and Kyrie's personality was a lot to deal with at times last season for guys. Obviously Jalen did take some of that to heart. Obviously he had issues with some of it. So losing Kyrie like really hurts from a competitive standpoint, because it made it tougher to deal with the rest of the roster, put together the rest of the roster, center front court rotation, lost Al Horford. All of that stems from not being able to go after Anthony Davis. Like, there were so many things that losing Kyrie Irving helped lead to, but losing his personality and locker room influence, I don't think there are too many guys left over in the Celtics organization who will miss him very much in that regard.
I think that's been made very clear. I think I've said this on the podcast before. I got a text during the Milwaukee series from a person who works for an unrelated team that said that basically this was going to be the case, that Kyrie is probably gone, and if he leaves, they are not going to be upset by that. So, and they're not. They didn't. Like, they thanked him publicly. Like, they said, you know, Danny Ainge has acknowledged that. It's not like they won't mention his name, but the team didn't put out a thing, and Kyrie certainly didn't say anything about his time in Boston, really. So I think it was just a mutual parting of the ways. You want to go? All right, cool. That's it. Relationship over. And they're just happy with it. So,
peace.
Also over this podcast. And we want to thank you for listening as we really reach for things to talk about. We hope that it was still enjoyable, and we'll talk about other things. And like I said, we'll try to get some more guests on the show to add some different perspectives as well. So please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. If this is your first time listening, welcome, and we thank you. If you're a regular listener, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating and a good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.